The following is a paid program.
The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Good morning, Big Blue Nation. This is Michael Bennett filling in for the vacationing Tom Leach. Congratulations to him because, you know what? I just butchered the word vacationing, didn't I? But I'll do the best I can. I try not to butcher so many words, but this is Michael Bennett along with Shannon the Dude. And we do a show weekdays, 8 till 9 o'clock in the morning, if you're on the Eastern Standard Time, called Just a Tip Off. And I'd love to have you join us if you ever want to. It's on the iHeartRadio app, so you can listen to it there. But let's talk about today's guest lineup, which is presented by Sleep Outfitters. We're going to have Mike Pratt stop by and call us in, talk a little bit about the Summer League and a few other things. Kind of go over Frank Ramsey because Mike was coached by Frank, and of course the unfortunate death that he had earlier this week, and so our condolences go out to him and his family, but he's going to talk about that. And then I want to talk a little bit about some of the players out there. Jared Vanderbilt, who just got a really nice contract, congratulations to him. And then a little bit about Kevin Knox and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Wynton Gabriel. So Justin Rowland's going to stop by. We're going to talk about some of the recruits. Of course, Tyrese Maxey playing down in the Nike Peach Jam, which began this week, plus E.J. Montgomery, James Wiseman playing down there. And then talk a little bit about football since we're getting ready to start football coming up, which is hard to believe, Shannon the Dude, that it starts a little later on this month. As soon as July 4th hits, guess what?
Yeah.
Summer's over.
Yeah, we always talk about our summer radio shows and how there's really nothing going on. We don't have that much longer to wait. It's going to be here before you know it.
But you know what? We've had, and of course, if you weren't listening to Just Tip Off right before Tom Leach's show, but there have been a lot of things to talk about, and majority of it, thanks to our good friends here in Louisville, at the University of Louisville. But and we won't get into that anymore. But if you missed the first hour, you can go listen to the podcast. But thank you, University of Louisville, for all you've done for us. So you've just endless amounts of summer topics. But anyway, that's the way it's been there. But all right, Wildcat News of the Day, presented by Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Wildcat News is... UK has 78 athletes on SEC first-year academic honor roll. Congratulations to them. Kentucky was fourth overall in the SEC for having the most student athletes on that list. UK had the most honorees in the sport of baseball with 19 players. Congratulations to Nick Mangione on managing to do that feat right there. While tying for the top spots in women's basketball with 4 and gymnastics with 5. UK football announced that Benny Snell Jr., CJ Conrad, and Josh Allen will make the trip down to Atlanta next Monday for the SEC football media days. So, again, here it comes. I mean, it is almost time and it's hard to believe. And then congratulations to, and it's hard for me to say this, but former UK basketball player, that is, Jared Vanderbilt. I guess what I mean by it's hard to say, because it's hard to believe Jared Vanderbilt is a former UK basketball player. But he was picked up by the Denver Nuggets. He was picked up during the draft, but he got his contract yesterday, made it official, 3-year $4 million. So, bit of a surprise there because they still don't know when he's going to be able to play. So, it's amazing to me. I know we talked about this a little bit ago, Shannon, but here you have a basketball player that has signed a $4 million contract. Now, we don't know the particulars of the contract. At least I haven't read it yet. I know you haven't read it, but you got a guy that hasn't signed now, but doesn't know when he's going to play. Yeah. And you've guaranteed him $4 million.
And now they're in the exact same situation that Kentucky was in. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play?
Yes. And it's mind-boggling to me you have something like this. I don't know why. If I was a general manager of the Denver Nuggets or the president of the Denver Nuggets, I'd be asking that general manager, why are we signing this guy and we don't know when he's going to play?
Yeah.
So, and that's not a cut. Don't get me wrong. This is not a cut on Jared Vanderbilt whatsoever. It's just a fact. Why are we doing something like this and offering this kind of money? Because that's a lot of money. Now, granted, it's not the kind of money Carl Anthony Towns is going to make. And some of the other players out there that are making right now, Anthony Davis, John Wall. But, wow, it's still quite a bit of money. But anyway, hey, if you'd like to interact with the show, you can tweet me at Morning Tip Off, or you can also email us, michael@morningtipoff.com. And check out the fan page for the Leach Report on Facebook. You can also give us a call, 877-904-1080, if you'd like to. But links to these stories can be seen on the Bud Light Leach Report at TomLeachKY.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mike Pratt's going to join us. We'll see you in a minute on the Leach Report.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at TalkRadio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Good morning. This is Michael Bennett of Just the Tip Off, along with Shannon the Dude. We're taking over for vacationing Mike Pratt. Vacationing Mike Pratt. I don't think this guy ever vacations. He just works, but Tom Leach is the one that's vacationing. So, segments with Mike are brought to you by Boone's Butcher Shop in Bardstown, Kentucky. Good morning, Mike Pratt. I know you don't vacation because you're constantly working.
You're right, Mr. Bennett. You are spot on, although, I am, with Wimbledon going on, I'm having strawberries and cream.
Are you really?
Hot tea. Yeah, man, in honor of Wimbledon.
That sounds fantastic. Now, will you give me your home address? Because as soon as we're done, Shannon and I are going to come over so we can have our bowl of strawberries and hot tea with you.
Well, listen, I will text it to you. You better hurry because they're almost all gone.
I bet they are. How's your foot doing? I know you're still been a little under the weather, but are you getting around a little better? And hopefully things are getting back to the old Mike Pratt self.
I'm close. I'm having a little problem. I see my foot doctor in the morning. A little pain in the foot, but I don't know. Yeah, I may have come back too soon. Who knows? But I'll be in there tomorrow. But I'm getting around a lot better. And if I get my back straightened out, I'll be just fine.
Well, I certainly hope so. Now, let's talk a little bit about the bad part before we get to the good part. But it's unfortunate about Frank Ramsey. And I know he was your coach with the Colonels. You know, talk a little bit about what it was like being coached by him and generally what it was like being around him.
Frank was, when he took over the Colonels about four games into the regular season, he came in, didn't try to make a whole lot of changes. He had to get a feel for the team, and Frank was very cut and dry and said he was going to try to coach the team like Auerbach had coached the Celtics and gave the players a lot of freedom. But Frank was... he was easy to converse with, but he was very matter of fact and straightforward. And what he told you is what ended up happening. You know, he'd say, "Now you got to go in here and make something happen." In the first 2 minutes, when I came off the bench, he said, "You got to go in and make something happen in the first 2 minutes to get more minutes. If you can't make something happen, then you know you're going to have to come out, and I got to put whoever Louis or Daryl that you went in for."
Right.
So it was pretty clear what, and he did that with all his subs. He really liked his bench. We had a really good bench then. We played a lot. But he trusted him and let him play. But the bottom line was you made something happen, rebound, defend, make a shot, whatever, that allowed him to buy some time for his starters, and he didn't want to go backwards. We're out in, I think it was Denver or Salt Lake City. I can't remember. It's all blur now. But before the game, Frank, you know, back then the locker rooms were small, so you either – as a coach, went out in the hallway, which fans were walking by sometimes, or you went into the latrine and you stood in there or sat in there and waited, or you sat in the middle of the locker room with the players.
Really?
Frank sat right in the locker room with the players. And one time he got in a conversation with Cincy Powell and Les Hunter about money and what, you know, to invest in. And just, he was a banker. And they were picking his mind, and he was talking to them about it. And, hell, we almost missed going out on the floor for warm-ups because the conversation drew other people into it. Yeah, Frank was special. He was a special guy.
Well, was he different when he was a coach and then when you got to know him later on in life and you just became really good friends?
No, he was the same guy. Again, the last time I saw him was a couple of years ago. I spoke at the Alumni Association in Madisonville. And he was a member. You know, he's been very active over the years in UK and the Alumni Association. And he came over to see me when everybody had, as they were leaving, toward the end, Frank came in, sat down. And when I was done, the meeting was over. He and I sat and talked. Golly, we were the last two there. They had already cleaned up around us. Of course, no one's going to ask Frank Ramsey to leave in Madisonville. So we had sat there and talked about the guys that we played with and I played with and he coached and basketball in general, his family. And it was great. I wish I would have had a chance. He said, you can come down, you can stay with me. Come down, visit anytime.
Yeah.
And I just never had a chance to make it back, Michael. And he was really a good person.
Yeah. I think the funniest story that I've read this week regarding Frank Ramsey was a story that was told about when he was still playing for the Boston Celtics. He was evidently a bit of a prankster, which I didn't know. I know you said he liked to joke quite a bit and had a good sense of humor, but evidently he would get there real early before practice. And there was one particular player for the Celtics that always cut it really close and will only get there maybe a minute or two before practice started. So Frank would go up to this guy's tennis shoes and tie them together, and inevitably this guy couldn't untie it and be dressed and out to practice, and Red Auerbach would fine you, this is what's funny to me as well, $1 a minute you were late. So every minute that went by, it would be another dollar. And that just shows you, wow, that was a long time ago. And that's, of course, today that's not much money, but I'm sure back then it was quite a bit when you're finding those kind of players.
Yeah, he came in and he had five or six of us had to lose some weight, he thought. And he said, look, we were all skinny. We played at a certain weight. Auerbach wanted us. And if you don't lose, this guy, he privately said, you got to lose 5 pounds, 10 pounds, whatever. It's $25 a pound. You got 2 weeks to lose it or whatever, whatever it ended up being.
Right.
And $25, a lot of money. Everybody
lost
the weight. Everybody was happy. But one time in Pittsburgh, John Brisker, the late John Brisker, who was a just a phenomenal offensive player, and he was built like a boxer, you know, and he liked to bully people around. And he got off early in the first quarter, and Frank went to the end of the bench. Danny Hester, a guy we had picked up from played at LSU with Pete. We had picked him up on waivers or some trade from Denver. And he was kind of like Jim Luskatoff was for Celtics. He was supposed to be our enforcer. You know, you never want your enforcer to be one of your starting players. But so he goes down, and Danny's nickname was Freak because he wore beads, had long hair, a mustache, listened to all the hard rock music. We nicknamed him Freak. And so Frank walks down to the end of the bench early in the first quarter when you never substitute. He said, Freak. And, you know, Frank had a little stutter.
Yes.
And he stuttered out Freak, and Freak jumped up and says, yeah, Frank. Because we called him Frank.
Yeah.
And he says, go in, and here's what I want you to do. And we're sitting there on the bench. We can hear everything. He said, I want you to go in there, and I want you to take care of Brisker. Knock him down one time, I don't care, but I want him hit one time, somehow, some way.
All right.
And so Frank's Hester says, okay, Frank, I'll do it. He takes off. And then Frank's going, hey, Freak, come back here. And he says, give me your beads. And this is all going on in front of the bench in seconds, you know.
Yeah.
And Freak says, Frank, what do you mean? Give me your beads. You got your beads on. You can't play with your beads. And because he didn't play a whole lot. And so they sat there for about, you know, 5 seconds. Hester's going, oh, come on, Frank. And Frank's going, Freak, give me the beads. And then he gives him the beads, goes in and chases Brisker for like, oh, 2 minutes. I can't catch him to put a, you know, an elbow on him or a body on him or whatever it was. So Frank took him out. And Danny goes and sits at the end of the bench. Frank gets up, walks down, and says, here's your beads, Freak.
I love that.
A sense of humor, you know. Frank, he was like I said, he was really, really a good cat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got to take a quick break. Mike Pratt has joined us this morning. When we come back, Mike, I do want to talk about some summer league players that are going on right now, how well some of these guys are playing, and if some of them have a shot of making a team. So we'll be right back. This is the Leach Report.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
All right, we're back. This is Michael Bennett, along with Shannon the Dude, the morning tip-off, taking over the Leach Report this morning. And on the phone line, we've got Mike Pratt. Mike, let's get into some of the Summer League. And some of these guys are really playing well, which doesn't necessarily surprise us. Kevin Knox has just been a real force. And one of the things we were talking about the first hour on morning tip-off is, do you think some of these New York fans appreciate him now and might be excited that Kevin Knox is in New York playing for the Knicks?
Well, you never know about New York fans. You can ask Skywalker about that. So
that's right.
You know, he'll tell you, and we've all read and heard about that. You know, the Summer League is a Summer League, okay? The NBA people and people that know it will tell you it's probably like a Sweet 16 or an Elite Eight game, Final Four game. You know, I mean, you've gotten a lot of talent, but not NBA level talent. You don't see many guys that are in the first seven rotations of teams playing. Okay, you know, Fox is playing because he's trying to get off an injury. Those kind of things. The NBA people use that, but they're not going to put a guy. Bam was playing. He played one game, maybe two, and he was outstanding. He's not going to play anymore. I mean, it's a limited taste of what goes on at the next level. What you want to see, I think, out of that league is this, or out of that state, is are guys doing things differently than we saw in college, okay?
Yes.
Are guys doing things well enough to gain confidence? And that's one of the biggest things. Right now, Kevin Knox has got to be so full of confidence the way he's playing. And to speak to that issue, the last game he shot it pretty well, but check his numbers on his shot, particularly the three-point is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But Kevin is doing one thing that we didn't see him do consistently or as successfully. He's driving the ball from the wing, from the top of the circle, and finishing at the rim.
Really? Yeah.
If there was one question about his game, or one of whatever questions you had, You go like, can he finish at the rim consistently? Can he put it on the floor and get there consistently? He's doing that now. I mean,
yeah.
It's really impressive that he's scoring most of his points off the bounce, driving it to the basket, finding his way to the charity stripe. I think it's been very impressive.
And I think that's the thing you should do, is especially with the Summer League, because none of the games really count. It's out there to prove what kind of player you are. So why not take all the things that people question you about and go ahead and go up and show them, this is what I can do. You think I can't do it, but I can. Go ahead, Shant. But anyway.
You know, that's true, Michael. But, you know, we're looking for guys who came back now from trying out, like PJ, and they've got to develop in areas that the NBA and Cal has told them that they've got to get better in. So, yeah, that's true, but some guys, the message doesn't sink in, okay?
Well, before you go, we got a caller that wants to ask you a real quick question. You got about 40 seconds, Ryan. Go ahead.
Okay, Mike, it's Ryan from Louisville. I want to know about Derek Willis, how he's doing, if he'll get another NBA contract, what he has to do to make the NBA.
All right, Ryan, thanks for that phone call. We got about, you know, 10, I hate to say it, Mike, we got about 15 seconds.
I really haven't heard a lot about Derek. Of course, they're still playing. But he's got to continue to develop his game.
All right, Mike, we got to let you go.
Put it on the bounce. You're cutting me off.
I know, I'm cutting you off, my friend. Sorry about that.
Leach never does it.
We'll see you in a minute.
See you.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
Good morning. This is Michael Bennett along with Shannon the Dude. And we are just the tip-off, taking over for Tom today and tomorrow. But coming up now, Justin Rowland, presented by Shuffle Bean Coffee Company. Good to have you on this morning. Justin, how are you doing?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great. A lot to talk about as far as recruiting going, especially since we got the 2018 Nike Peach Jam going on. And, boy, it was evidently a sight to see last night.
Yeah, well, I'm not there, but one of our guys, David Sisk, who covers recruiting for Cats Illustrated, is there, and all the Rivals people, Corey Evans and Eric Bossy are there, and some really headliner matchups yesterday, it seems like. The guards, Cole Anthony and Kentucky commit Tyrese Maxey, and then the big men, it seems to be what everybody was excited to see, Vernon Carey against James Wiseman. So the best were against the best, and there's no better stage to showcase than something like that.
Well, I don't know if you saw the replay, but there are a few people that posted it on Twitter between the Tyrese Maxey team and Cole Anthony. It was just an unbelievable way that game ended. Of course, Tyrese Maxey's team was down double digits, came back, and then won on a even less than a second shot after they stole the ball and just threw it up to make it for the win. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy finish. And, you know, apparently Maxey came up really big. He kind of turned it on late, and he had a couple of really decisive steals and finishes and played better towards the end. But, you know, that's when you want him playing good. And against Anthony, if he elevates on that stage, nobody's doubted that he's going to elevate his game against good competition. He's just that kind of alpha guy.
That's right.
Seems like he turned it on late for sure.
Yeah, because it seems like he definitely shined more than Cole Anthony. Would you agree with that, or you think it's still pretty good competition between the two of them?
I mean, from what I heard, from what I read from Eric Bossy, Rivals national analyst, and David Sisk, our guy, is Anthony lived up to the billing. I mean, apparently his footwork and his ability to kind of bowl into the paint and bounce off defenders and finish and score from three levels, it's super impressive. I mean, Anthony's stock has been rising as much as anybody's. I mean, you can make a case, I guess some people have, that he's the best prospect going in high school basketball. The question is whether Kentucky has a shot with him. But for Maxey to go toe-to-toe with him and make so many clutch plays against that level of competition, I think it bodes very well for Kentucky.
And see, that leads right into my next question. What kind of shot do we have with Cole Anthony?
You know, I think Cole doesn't really talk recruiting. My understanding is he doesn't talk recruiting, but one of our guys, Clint Jackson with Cats Illustrated, spoke with Greg Anthony, and you know, Kentucky's definitely recruiting him. Maxey is in his ear. I would still imagine that Duke is probably the front runner for him. That seems to be what the consensus has been for a while. But as long as Calipari's involved, you certainly can't write him off.
The game that followed that, I'm sure you got some information about it, but it was with James Wiseman's and DJ Jeffries' team versus Vernon Carey. DJ, obviously, he's committed. We're excited about him coming. How did he look in that ball game? Do you have any idea?
David Sisk told me, and he wrote at the site, that it was the best that he's seen DJ look. And David's a straight shooter. I mean, after he watched him a couple of months ago, I don't want to say he was critical, but he thought that maybe he had plateaued a little bit, temporarily at least, but he said that this was the best that DJ had looked, and I thought that was another good sign as well, to see his stock trending in the right direction. Calipari's done a good job of getting guys that are normally trending in the right direction as they get closer to college, and it seems like that could be what he's doing right now.
You know, it's interesting you say that. Cal's been doing a great job. Everybody, a month or a couple of months ago, and we've talked about this on Just a Tip Off, which airs right before Tom's show, but they were all, the fan base, including myself, I was just as guilty, nervous about, okay, what kind of a team is he going to put together? It seems like Duke is out recruiting us. Do you think, and now that we see the complete team and the excitement that not just the fan base has, but Cal has for this team, do you think Big Blue Nation will ever relax when it comes to not knowing what's going on in the inner dwindlings of recruiting with Cal?
You know, that's a tough question. Big Blue Nation's never going to relax. I do think that Calipari has been such an interesting variable. You know, for somebody who does, or basically a recruiting website, I mean, Kentucky fans, I remember back on the old AOL fan board days, they've obsessed about recruiting, and they kind of relax a little bit about it now because they know Cal's going to get his guys. But recently, there's obviously been the question of whether Duke has overtaken them. I think Calipari's kind of quieted that now. But then with one and done ending soon, apparently, I think that's kind of a big unknown. That's the next kind of hurdle everybody's going to have to collectively clear.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I can't believe you just said AOL. I mean, how old are you, Justin Rowland?
I'm 33 years old. Man, I was obsessed with this stuff when I was in. I mean, other kids were out playing. I was watching SportsCenter, so I remember a lot.
There you go. Well, it's one of those things where I wonder how much of an impact DJ Jeffries is going to have with James Wiseman. Do you still think UK has the best shot of landing him? Or, because I can understand. Here's what I think. Justin, is that, you know, when you're 17, 18 years old and you've had your AAU coach and you've got a real personal bond with him, it's got to be a really struggle for him to choose between the two because he's always mentioned he wanted to play at Kentucky.
I mean, I do think at the end of the day, it's not going to be an easy decision. But, I mean, if you just read and listen to what he and everybody around him, his mother, the people that know him best, the people associated with his teams, what they've said, nobody's ever really denied that Kentucky's in great shape. And I think from 2 months ago when things had really heated up, there was a question of whether it was evening out. And then I think they, without shooting it down, they kind of shot it down. And my understanding is Kentucky's probably still the odds-on favorite.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I got a few questions about the football team because I tell you what, it's hard to believe football is just right around the corner. So Justin Rowland's joining us. This is the Leach Report. We'll be right back.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
All right, we're back. This is Michael Bent along with Shannon the Dude and Justin Rowland's joining us on the phone. I know you reminded me, Justin, it's hard to believe, July 25th, football is going to be starting. Like I've said several times, when July 4th hits, it seems like summer just flies by and football is just right there. And I'm really excited about this season. So hopefully everybody else is out there as well. But we got a question from a listener, Nick. He emailed in wanting to know if Mark Stoops has been recruiting this one player out of Danville. He's the kicker out there, Nathan Hazlett. Do you know anything about that?
No, I have not heard that. And I would imagine that I don't know what class he is, but if they are recruiting him, it would probably be in a preferred walk-on role because – you know, last year they're bringing in Chance Poor, who's a scholarship kicker right now, and it would really be kind of rare for a school to bring on two scholarship kickers in back-to-back classes. But it's an interesting question. I'll look into it, but I hadn't heard anything about it.
Evidently, he's kicked an 80-yard field goal, or kicks him 80 yards, and then also has a game-winning field goal against Bull County. So evidently that's on YouTube. So, but also, one more quick question is Miles Butler, a redshirt senior?
That sounds right. I have to check off the top, but off the top of my head, that sounds right. I thought he was a junior last year. I'm not sure if he's redshirted, though.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into some of the recruiting. Kind of give us a broad stream what's going on as far as football recruiting with Mark Stoops right now.
I mean, right now, I think the big theme, they filled out more than half of their class. I think the big theme for the last, let's say, 6 months of this class is going to be how they finish in state. You know, they've got Vince Morrow recruiting more in Louisville than Ohio, which says something about the talent in Louisville this cycle.
That's right.
And, you know, they're trying to get Sean Kill, Mike Goff back on board. They're trying to close a deal with four-star linebacker Jared Casey. They want J.J. Weaver, big-time explosive pass-rushing defensive end. And then, you know, Wandale Robinson, not from Louisville, from Frankfort. But those four in-state guys, I think they're battling with Louisville and Purdue for most of those guys. How they finish there will it'll say a lot about this class, but it'll also say a lot about how in-state recruits view Kentucky right now.
If you were looking at the big board in Mark Stoops' office right now, what name would be on top of that list as far as those guys? You think it is Wandale Robinson, or is it somebody else?
I think J.J. Weaver might be the best prospect long-term just because those fast, athletic, kind of freakish, powerful, explosive defensive ends are very valuable, especially in the way football is now. But and defensive linemen are so hard to recruit. But Wandale Robinson is a potential big-time immediate impact guy. I mean, he's just explosive, elite top-end speed, quickness. Kentucky needs to expand the passing game and to balance the offense, and I think he would go a long way towards doing that right from the start.
Have you thought about what your projection is going to be as far as the starting quarterback this coming season?
I think it'll be Terry Wilson. Nobody's told me that that's going to happen, but my understanding is the way that he performed after only having been there a month in the spring, basically working with a team for about a month, I think he would have to run into a wall that I don't anticipate him running into, and his development really being stunted for him not to take the job. I just think he's too explosive and he's too dynamic once he's got a little bit more time in the offense to keep him off the field. I think you pair him with Benny Snell in the backfield, you get some guys like Lynn Bowden who are easy to get the ball to. I just think he's too good of an athlete to keep off the field.
Well, you got so many options right there. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch them as far as, okay, you could have Benny Snell as your lead blocker out there, and I would hate to have that guy running towards me with the quarterback right behind him. So, I mean,
in the spring game, I don't remember if it was like his second drive or if it was in the second quarter, but it was the second something. And he tucked it and he cut outside the tackle and he went straight up the middle of the field. And I've never seen a Kentucky quarterback run like that. And, you know, as well as they're already going to run the ball, I have a hard time seeing that on the sidelines this fall.
Does it make you think as well that Touchdown Terry is going to be the starting quarterback just because we're coming from that style of offense for the last couple of years with Steven Johnson too?
Yeah, I think that's true. Now, I think Terry could be a good passer, but if they had a more accomplished, developed, proven, deep receiving core, and there was more of, I think, a realistic, you know, plan to balance the offense, maybe 50-50 run pass, then yeah, I think Hoke would probably have more of an inside track. But the reality is Kentucky's offensive line is probably better at blocking for the run. Kentucky's a better rushing team. There are some questions at receiver. The tight ends are really good blockers. I just think it's set up to continue to be a run-heavy team, and so why not double down with a quarterback who really makes you better at what you're already good at?
One of the questions that we were talking about on my show a little earlier, just a tip-off, was if you had the choice today, knowing what you've seen the last 2 years, out of Benny Snell and Damian Harris, who would you choose? Justin, who would you choose?
I've said this before. I think Damian Harris is the better back for Alabama, and I think Benny Snell is the better back for Kentucky. I think at Harris, he doesn't have to worry about the offensive line. They're going to be blowing guys off the ball. He's not making a lot of guys miss. He does make tacklers miss, but he doesn't have to break a lot of tackles compared to what he would have to at Kentucky.
Yeah.
I think Snell has to probably do a little bit more than Harris would, and I think he's better equipped to because of how hard he runs and how strong he is getting off tackle. So I think they're both in the perfect spot.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm all for Benny Snell. And I think, to me, he is the better running back. He's got 300 more yards than Damian Harris. And that's not to take and just put down somebody that's from the state of Kentucky because he went to Alabama. That's not the case at all. I love the attitude that Benny has, the confidence that he has, the energy that he has with this team. I think we got the great running back, and I'm glad he's there. I want the player that wants to come to Kentucky. So anyway, Justin Rowland, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
Always good to hear from you. All right. Shannon, do we want to go ahead and take our last break right now, or what do we want to
do? Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. When we come back, Shannon and I are going to get a little bit of an argument, but we'll see how
that
goes.
An argument about what?
I don't know. We'll make something up, and then we'll go from there, okay? Just don't worry about it. You'll know when we come back. This is Elite Report.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
All right, we're back. This is Michael Bennett along with Shannon the Dude. All right, Shannon, so tell me this.
Yeah.
How have I done today so far?
Well, I must say I'm not overly impressed with your time management skills or your lack of time management, because you cut off Mike Pratt.
Yes, I did.
When you had him on here. And you know what? Tom Leach never does that, as Mike Pratt pointed out.
Yeah, and he texted me to tell me that again. It wasn't enough that he said it on the radio.
I was telling
he
you.
He had to text asked me and tell me, Michael, Tom Leach never does this to me.
I was trying to tell you, you had 20 seconds.
Okay.
And with 20 seconds left on a heartbreak, you went to a phone call.
All right, fine.
Guy asked him a question. You gave Mike Pratt 5 seconds to answer a question.
Yeah.
That's not very professional with you.
Well, you know, that reminds me of time management of interviewing somebody else, too.
Well, let's just say the football team's not going to hire you anytime soon. I got another bone to pick with you with Mike Pratt, too. I noticed when Mike Pratt was on, you were calling the show that you do before this, or our show.
Yes.
You were calling it Morning Tip-Off.
Yeah.
But then when everybody else is on, you're calling it just the Tip-Off. So are you ashamed to admit to Mike Pratt that you have changed the name of the show?
No, I am not.
Is that what's going on?
Because
I think you didn't want to say just the Tip-Off to Mike Pratt.
You think that's the case?
Because you thought that maybe he would give you a little criticism for changing the name.
I have to give all credit to this. All the credit in the world goes to Matt Jones.
Yeah.
Matt Jones gets the credit, okay?
Yep.
And he's already made a statement on KSR that I'm going to have to pay him royalties. Well, I'll be glad to pay
you. Well, you changed it a little bit because you changed the name to Off. You added Off to the name.
Well, maybe we should just name it just the Tip. I don't. It just doesn't matter to me anymore. There's so many people out there that just want a T-shirt that say just the Tip.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to come up with it. So if there's anybody out there that'd like to tweet me, you know, that's one of those things.
Nobody wants to tweet you.
That's not true. See, you wondered what we were going to argue about.
Yeah.
And here you go. You're just like a little chihuahua. You just get all over my behind. But here's what's going to happen. We need to have we need to do a contest, and they can come guest host. I'll give them some free tickets to UK football, UK basketball. If you come up with a really good graphic that we could put on our T-shirt with Shannon the Dude, Michael Bennett.
I could think of one right now.
You really? You can? Okay, can you describe it?
No, not on the radio.
Okay, well then that's not a T-shirt we're going to put on then. It has to be something that's not... We don't want
it. And on the back, it has to say the following is a paid program.
Yes, it does have to say that because I think that's the most brilliant idea
you've
ever had.
That's our tagline, the following is a paid program.
Yes, yes. All right, so let's go back to the question then. Damian Harris, because Justin Rowland, he answered that question to me, and that's not a cut to Justin. He just kind of answered it politically correct, I would say. I'm going to tell you right now, and Damian Harris, I know I love you. You went to a different school, and I don't discredit you for that. I don't blame you. I've always been, just like Vince Merrill says, we want players that want to come to Kentucky. Mark Stoops is famous for saying this, and I love that, and I totally agree with them. So, Damian Harris didn't want to Kentucky. That's fine. We got Benny Snell. I can tell you right now, and I want your honest answer, Shannon. I want Benny Snell at Kentucky. I'll take him any day, any way, over Damian Harris. You say?
I would take Damian Harris if I had my choice.
Would.
Between the two,
You've
I think.
You've got to be kidding me.
Why do I have to be kidding you? I think that Benny Snell.
But you're wrong.
Well, Benny, no, I'm not. Benny Snell is a great player. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Benny Snell.
Yes.
I'm just saying if you had the choice, I would take Damian Harris.
And specifically why?
Because I think he's a better running back.
You do, really?
Yeah.
See, you look at the statistics, and it goes back to, and this is, again, this is not a cut on our offensive line. We have a great offensive line. It's not as talented as Alabama. Can you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Benny Snell is working behind a line that's not as talented as the number one team
in the
country.
He's doing more with less. Yeah.
Exactly.
I understand that.
So, and he's gaining more. He's got better statistics, to me, rushing yards, 300, than Damian Harris has. So I just don't understand how anybody could say, I want Damian Harris more than Benny Snell. I'll take him every time. I think he brings tremendous attitude and energy to the football team. That's why I believe this football team is going to do exceptionally well.
What's coming up on the show tomorrow?
What's coming up on the show tomorrow? We're going to give away
tongue-tied? What's wrong with you? Come on.
Because I was getting ready to talk about
the Leach Report tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow. I don't even know who's
our guest.
I don't have any idea.
Well, tune in tomorrow. We'll have three mystery guests.
Is that what it is? Are there going to be mystery guests? Okay.
You don't know. You're not prepared.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on The Leach Report Radio Network.